Hey, America. Todd Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios, and we really think you should take a long look at diversifying and emptying your bank account, except for operating capital. And if you got a retirement attached to your bank account, get it the heck out of there now, because under the Dodd-Frank law of 2010, totally unconstitutional, came in under Obama. But the banks can take your money because you have been declared to be an unsecured creditor. Yeah, that's right. So Noble Gold can help you deal with all this, and they're not pushy. In fact, you have to close your own deal. Trust me, I've been there. Okay, Mr. Hodges, anything else? Yeah, I'd like to do the deal now. And you kind of will go through that because they're trained to be that way. The FTC wants me to warn you that anytime you deal in investments, there are no guarantees and there's a risk. We agree with that. Too bad they didn't make Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX take that warning, but we're happy to comply. I'm going to give you a real simple way to get the information you need on Noble Gold along with their phone number. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. Well, we're fortunate to have Pastor Sam Arnold on the show with us today. And some things I've been talking about, Russian and Chinese buildup. Sam has kind of like we're describing an elephant, but he's kind of looking at the hind legs and I'm looking at the front legs. But we're talking about the same thing, basically. And we thought we would compare notes here because America is in dire, dire danger. Sam, welcome back to the show. Glad to have you. I wish the topic was a little more appealing. I wish it wasn't so dire. But hopefully the Lord will see us through this rough patch that we're going to go through. So you're currently in Mexico still, is that correct?
I am in Mexico. I just got back from El Salvador, where I attended in person Nayib Bukele's inauguration.
Okay.
Which was quite a mind blow. And that's probably the best place to start, because 3 weeks before that happened, I was awake at an odd hour of the morning in the wee hours, and I turned on the news, and RT was streaming live Vladimir Putin's re-inauguration for his maybe fifth term. And then when I was in the crowd, so there was a lot that I couldn't see, but when I watched the film of the Bukele inauguration, there were significant similarities between Bukele's inauguration ceremony and Vladimir Putin's. And I don't know that everybody's going to really appreciate where I stand on that, because what's going on in El Salvador is a phenomenal thing. This is the rebirth of freedom worldwide. And I really think that Russia's an ally on this. So right after this Bukele inauguration, within days, Urrego, who's the vice president of El Salvador and just took the oath to cannon fire right after Bukele in El Salvador, he showed up in St. Petersburg, and immediately there was a deal inked between Russia and El Salvador for economic, scientific, and other cooperation, to include perhaps security cooperation. So this is a good time for the United States government to really rethink having snubbed Bukele, and that we should, the U.S. should really be more involved in helping him to secure that his corner of the Northern Triangle of Central America. But Russia is presenting themselves as a strong ally. And let me throw it back to you with this, Dave. A year ago, you and I reported that Russia had invited all the nations of Latin America to joint military exercises. And all this time, we've kind of been waiting for the other shoe to drop to see who was going to accept that. And the U.S. has been exercising with nation after nation. Right now, the George Washington supercarrier having come out on the Pacific side of the Straits of Magellan. So it's circumnavigating South America, except for the final islands of Tierra del Fuego, to report for duty in Japan. And there's been a lot of exercises with Brazil, overflights of Guyana, exercises with Argentina, who's really proving to be a significant ally under the Milei presidency. But now the question is, who is going to step up and accept Russia's offer to drill Navy on Navy and Army on Army? And I think we're going to see some takers very, very soon. perhaps with El Salvador or other nations being the first ones outside the historic allies of Russia in the hemisphere, you know, Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba.
Well, I think Putin would be drilling with America if Trump managed to win the election, which I still think is a long shot. I'm going to talk about Russia just for a second to kind of set the stage for where I know this is going. Putin has rejected the World Economic Forum. He's largely rejected the UN. He doesn't embrace LGBTQ or any of the other woke nonsense that's out there. He hasn't compromised his economy on behalf of fictional climate change policies. The Russian people have more freedom on an increasing basis. The nation's more increasingly turning towards Christianity. And it's going to sound like, gee, I'm backing Russia over America. No, I'm not. But what I'm saying is it's unavoidable to make these conclusions. Now, Putin is still old hardline KGB, and I still have a hard time believing he should be trusted. I think he's endearing himself to a people with these reforms so he doesn't get assassinated or removed from office. So he's trying to keep the people happy, especially since so many Russians have died in the Ukraine war. So it's really interesting. Russia has become the new bastion of freedom, and America has become the new symbol of communism. Sam, do you have a reaction to that?
It's a passing in the night. One of my teachers in high school, Mr. Freeze, said this would happen, that there would be a passing in the night, that we were becoming more of a totalitarian nation, and this was in the 1980s, and that Russia was beginning to open up. This is in the dawn of glasnost. And then since the fall of the Soviet Union, we're really seeing this. And when I watched the Russian inauguration in the Kremlin, it was really a tremendous display of patriotism, of their history much longer than our own. And there were a lot of beautiful things that happened in that. It was hard to not be swept up in the Russian nationalism that was going on there, their pride in their leader, their support of him as he leads their nation into their historic values, of course, including a very deep Christianity. So I'm with you, Dave. There's been a passing in the night, and I'm not ashamed to say that Russia has had a part in bringing Mexico back to a real representative government, which is now about to enter its second administration. I know you want to talk about that, and we'll certainly get into it. You mentioned one other thing, and that is how the Trump election, the U.S. election, is very much under threat. And it could be meddled with by numerous outside forces. And I just want to state that right now we're in a beautiful time. We're in a time where the El Salvadoran, which is really the seed of freedom, this is the spark that could start a whole new free hemisphere, and is in El Salvador. That presidency, the anarchists tried to blow it up. That presidency has come into its second administration and it's firmly in hand. And then the day after that, the Mexicans voted, and it was a landslide for Doctora Claudia Sheinbaum, who's going to continue making Mexico great. The Mexican peso is pounding the dollar and has been for 2 years running. And so right now we're in a time where freedom is being reborn, and Americans need to get on board. It'd be nice to get Trump back in. We
You
may see
know,
nuclear war before that.
I want to go to a statement that Putin made. I read it, I heard it, and it's disappeared, Sam. But I saw it's kind of like John Doe number two in the Oklahoma City bombing in that all points bulletin, if you know what I'm saying. The grainy video with McVeigh and a Middle Eastern man in a bar that played on Channel 12 here locally in Phoenix, seen probably by about 50,000 people. And then all of a sudden, boop, it's gone. This is gone too. But here's what Putin said. We're putting ICBMs in Mexico. Sam, I saw it with my own eyes. Now, was it an AI fake? Maybe. But the thing is I think it's true because of what we're going to talk about with Cuba. And I'm concerned about this new Mexican president. I've heard, let's put it this way, a lot of my circle thinks that she's a nutcase, a total globalist. and extremely anti-American and wouldn't think twice about cozying up to the Chinese and the Russians against America. What's your reaction to that? Because you're closer to it than I am.
First of all, Mexico's already got their own nuclear missiles. I don't know that they're intercontinental, but they really do not need to be. And there's a full article on that on my Subscribestar blog, Subscribestar/Gospel Gunslingers. You have to go back a couple years in time, but it's called The Zone of Silence. I'm not sure what it's called, but I address the nuclear deterrent of Mexico and the numerous published evidences why that is the case, although there's a mum's the word policy, much like the nation of Israel. So that already exists. Dr. Sheinbaum, remember that Andres Manuel, the president of Mexico and the leader of the Morena Party and the fourth transformation that's going on in Mexico, is as much against the news, and the news is as much against him as it ever was with Trump. And so you're dealing with a very slanted portrayal of the Mexican president-elect, who is a tremendous person in many respects. She's extremely highly educated. She is, you brought up nuclear. She is a nuclear physicist. She has a doctorate in nuclear energy.
Okay. So
And
she's
she,
brilliant. I'll grant her that.
from Oxford in England, she speaks wonderful English, of the Queen's vernacular.
Is she Jewish by birth? Because that's another story that's floating out there that I have no idea if it's true or not.
Yes, she is. Her parents actually fled from Poland and the area very near Auschwitz in 1939 because they were medical doctors. Her grandparents were medical doctors, and Hitler was recruiting medical doctors to continue his experimentation. So this is early on in the war, but in the East is where Hitler really went on the rampage first. And so they fled to Mexico in 1939. And then her parents were young children at the time. So yes, she is of Jewish ancestry with roots in the flight from the Holocaust. Now, she is not what you'd really term a religious Jew, but there are those in Mexico. And I think that the quickest to play that card has been the anarchists. I mean, I've seen it painted near the presidential palace when the anarchists are out there with their purple hair and throwing dynamite at the president. They painted, and I saw it, Sheinbaum, Judía opresora, Jew oppressor. And this was, early on in her campaign. This is a couple of years ago. So there was an effort to paint her as a dirty Jew back then. And a lot of people believe in that, even in our conservative media. You probably should know, Dave, that the whole reason that I broke my very comfortable silence as a street preacher and a jungle preacher and a field missionary and entered into the conservative media was to lock horns with all the Jew haters. Because if a person's really a student of the Bible, they understand very quickly. You can look in Romans 11, it's self-explanatory that it's a hoax. The whole idea that the Jews are behind the evil in the world and that they're the ones that killed the Lord Jesus and that God is angry with them and has cast them off and so forth and so forth. So I'm actually liking the idea that she has a background in the Torah, in Judeo-Christian values, that she is even has proposed changing the Templo Mayor, the ancient Catholic Church, which is the head of government and head of authority for New Spain and for all of North and South America. She has proposed, since it's government property, kicking the Catholic Church out of that and making it a museum. So I'm really liking some of her
Okay.
beliefs.
Let me give you my initial reaction. I'm a little surprised that someone with a Jewish background would get elected in Mexico. Because I look at Mexico, very, how do I say that? Strong family roots, strong tradition, Being Jewish is outside that tradition, and that speaks to the fact that the Mexican people are truly looking for a change from an outsider and not business as usual as an insider. Do you think I'm right on that?
I think it's hard to see past the Rio Grande for an American how phenomenal the support is for even the ongoing military campaign against Hamas in Gaza. I was on a broadcast not long ago, it's been a few months, with Israeli President Yitzhak Herzog, and he took my question. And my question had to do with their support, the Israeli flag being commonly flown in Latin America at revivals and in churches and in public. And you know what? The Israeli president just lit up and he said, "We are getting tremendous support from Latin America." And he said, "So many Latin Americans have made aliyah to Israel." And he said, "And not only that," he had to stop the interviewer, the NPR interviewer. He said, "Furthermore," and he said, "Some of the hostages are from Latin America, Israeli citizens that have made aliyah because of their beliefs." And he said, "And we really need all the people of Latin America to support us in continuing this military campaign until the last hostage comes home." So really, there is a more biblical view of the Jewish nation, of the rebirth of the dry bones of Ezekiel 37, in being fulfilled in the nation of Israel. There's much more support for that in Latin America than what we see in the broad spectrum of the United States today. I'm really shocked how strong the anti-Jewish movement in the United States has become, and I'm frightened by it because it's going to incur the judgment of God.
Yeah, I hear you. I hearken back. I had a personal feud with McCain because he and his mafia were trying to steal my property rights and that of my neighbors, and on the way to taking our property for his Central American Free Trade Agreement transportation system. And he runs against Obama. And I wasn't as familiar with Obama as I should have been at that time. I mean, he gave us a quick introduction, though. But in the beginning with Obama, I thought America really kind of has reached its pinnacle in terms of saying all men are created equal. And I thought the election of a black president was a very positive thing, irrespective of issues. And then when the issues came in, I didn't care what color he was a horrible president. But I'm wondering if the Mexicans aren't looking at this new president in the same light. That it's an outsider with a different message. Only with Obama, he was too far outside. With this person, I can't say how she's going to interact with the people, but it seems like they've embraced an outside influence. Let me ask you a question. Is it because they're sick of the cartels and attempted Chinese dominance, and this is a person that'll stand up to it? I mean, how do all these variables blend together?
Let me throw you a curveball, and then any point of that that you want me to come back to, I would be happy to. I was talking to one of my sources who's an incredibly intelligent individual, and here's what he said. Andres Manuel is being conscripted into the United Nations right now. And I was shocked, and I said, "He's really ready to retire." He said, "I don't even want to be a moral compass." And I said, "So why would he do that? And why would the United Nations even want him?" And here's what my source said. He said, "Because all of the presidents of Africa have seen what he has done in Mexico and they want it for the world." And I thought, wow, that could change the entire political landscape of the globe in a moment if we got rid of these globalist traitors like, the current Portuguese, head Gutierrez of the UN, who's a globalist and a traitor, and got Andres Manuel in. So this is what the presidents of small nations are thinking is, maybe we need to adopt these policies for ourselves. And I spoke at length with the delegation from Equatorial Guinea in El Salvador, and this is the only nation in Africa that speaks Spanish. So why was that delegation in El Salvador? Because they're seeing a huge turnaround in this little nation and they want that for themselves. So it's leaders like of that nation and other small nations in Africa that are thinking, we want what Mexico is doing. So it's really that broad-based movement. Now, it took a couple years, and then it took a couple more years for this fourth transformation to take effect. And remember, the Mexican president serves for 6 years and can serve only one term. They have to go into the sunset. And so we're finishing up a 6-year term, which means there's been three, every 2 years there's an election. So there was Andres Manuel's election, then 2 years later, governors and senators and all of the Congress. And then it happened again after 2 more years. And so right now, the movement has gained so much momentum that the people of Mexico, all except for ones that are in with the cartels or wealthy, wealthy business people that don't want to pay taxes, those are the only ones that are against the AMLO, Morena, the Fourth Transformation, and Dr. Claudia. This election was a landslide beyond belief. Just imagine if we had a presidential election in the US and one party got double the votes of the next runner up. That's what happened in Mexico. By the official count, it might have been 3 or 4 times. So there is an absolute landslide of support for Dr. Claudia Sheinbaum. You may not hear about that in the US media, but it is phenomenal, the amount of support from all levels of society. Only the crooks want something else.
What about the border issues with her? Where do you think she's going to come down on that?
Now, yeah, Dave, you're one of the people who has reported, with a little help from me, about how much corruption is in the governorships in the north of Mexico. And so we've seen rebellion against the central government of Mexico in those border states, and those governors and those corrupt areas are where a lot of the trafficking deals get made and a lot of the illegal activity takes place. So, of course, as the central government of Mexico gains power, they're going to be doing more for border control. There are lots of deportations going on right now. Mexico is flying people back to Venezuela, to several nations they have bilateral agreements with. They put them on a stipend. They give them US$110 per month for 6 months and get them a job with a big corporation like Bimbo Bread that has offices in Mexico and in their home nations. And so this Vuelta a la Patria, return to your homeland, return to your fatherland program is really steaming up. And those kinds of things are going to go further as Dr. Claudia Sheinbaum takes over. She has also said that she intends to do a Bukele-style crackdown against the cartels. And so a lot of Mexico is ready for that to happen. It'd be nice if she had some help from the United States
Well, that's not going to
because.
happen with this administration. They want totally open borders. By the way, I should mention this here timely. Biden has an executive order saying we're shutting the border down, and that's totally misleading because we have to ask Mexico for permission to send someone back across the border while they wait for asylum, and that just is not going to happen.
It's a publicity stunt in an election year.
Yeah,
He had all
exactly.
this time, and you know who has done all the grandstandings thus far. I know you know is Texas Governor Greg Abbott. But now, yeah, Biden's going to come in and steal the thunder and be the hero for a little while. And all of that is propaganda. He has done nothing to disempower Mayorkas. Mayorkas is a troublemaker. He actually showed up in El Salvador, but we know where his bread's buttered. You know who didn't show up in El Salvador? The Panamanian president-elect. I believe the 1st of July, he takes power. And he said he's going to wall up the Darien Gap. You want to hear something really dumb that just shows how strong the propaganda is. Panama is the WASP-waisted narrowest point in the entire American continent, so narrow that we dug a ditch across it with basically shovels. You know, there wasn't much in the as far as power equipment when that was done. And the news is saying, oh, there's no way that this president can wall off the Darien Gap. It's a savage jungle. It's the narrowest point in the entire continent. It's the easiest place to wall off, and he's gonna do it. Now, he didn't show up because I think he knew that the fur would fly if he showed up. He's biding his time. He's going to do like Javier Milei. You know, Milei, when he was in his election, he didn't talk a great deal about being Jewish. And the moment that he was president-elect, he put on his kippah, clicked it on his head, and went to meet the rabbi. And then it was all the world news. Oh, he is a Jew. They're Juden. They're Juden. So understand that there are changes taking place in all of the Americas. Some presidents are already putting in El Salvadorian style, Nayib Bukele style crackdowns. They publicized it, including Javier Milei and Daniel Noboa of Ecuador. So all of a sudden, this is not just a nation of 6 million people. We're dealing with 9 times that population just in those two other nations. Then there's other nations that are kind of being quiet right now, but they have seen what works, and one of them's Panama.
Yeah, but the Chinese have been pressing hard in Panama for control of their natural resources. And I'm getting that report from Panamanians who are American expats.
Now, you're right about that, but the Supreme Court closed their mine. And we're talking, this mine is 5% of GDP. You know, most of these nations spent 0.5% on their defense. And for a nation to lose 5% of their GDP is a huge deal. But that's what happened when the nation bit the bullet and closed the Chinese mine. We're going to see where the Panamanians stand. They may just wax strong in the fight, wall off the Darien Gap, secure their nation, get back to their what's been their bread and butter forever, which is the Panama Canal, and tourism. Tourism. And you know what? The Panamanians, I'll leave it there. The Chinese, what they want is the canal, above all.
That's true.
If you look at Central America, there's three little countries, 20, 25,000 square kilometers. Belize, Panama, and El Salvador. Then there's three big ones, which are like 3-4 times that size. So that's Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua. And then Costa Rica is kind of in the middle. So Panama is so little that when you're talking about Panama's natural resources, you know, even that mine, it's big for Panama, but as far as the hunger of the Chinese dragon, it's not that much. Their land area is so little. It's minuscule. The Chinese want the canal, which is a strategic threat. And the person that's supposed to be guarding it, Southcom head General Laura Richardson, we know she's asleep at the wheel. She's a space cadet out there running around with Senator Nelson, and real security issues is just like the furthest thing from her mind. I wish it were not the case.
Asleep at the wheel's kind. I would say she's just falling right in line with the takedown of America, along with the Biden administration.
That's my concern. I thought it was pretty cool that the George Washington supercarrier made an F-18 flyby over Georgetown, Guyana, before they steamed on down to drill with the Argentines. And that's pretty recent news that they did that. So that was a start, but we need a lot more serious cooperation. You know, there's military buildups, and I've reported this on my radio show. By the way, as we record this, my last radio show on the shortwave transmitters was broadcast. I'm moving into a new iteration, and let's believe God for that, for my new platform opportunities to work out. But this was the 92nd week. They're all on gospelgunslingers.com. You can download those. They're free to play, free to air, free to download. And I reported on there how there's military buildups in Venezuela up against the Essequibo, on the islands of Trinidad and Tobago, drills in Barbados, C-17 flights coming and going, et cetera, et cetera. So make no mistake that there are rumblings for war. And you brought up Russia and China to start with. I really think that concern number one is Iran and Venezuela. Now, Russia's also an ally of Venezuela. China still wants to buy their oil. Russia, if their navy is out here, they'll surely make a port call and salute Venezuela. But really the threat, as far as Venezuela is concerned, is when Iran hits critical mass around the world. That's when they're going to cause Venezuela to invade the Essequibo, and maybe close down the Panama Canal, because they have the missile technology there to do exactly what the Houthis are doing, if not worse, on the Caribbean side, the Atlantic side of the Panama Canal.
Well, let's go to national defense. It was over 10 years ago, probably closer to 12 or 13, that the Russians put high surveillance ships in Havana. And that was widely reported. I was one of the people that covered it. Now there's reports of Russia warships being accepted into Cuba. What do you know about it, and how extensive is the buildup?
Okay, that just happened after the Bukele inauguration and after the announcement that Bukele's vice president of El Salvador was in St. Petersburg and made this extensive bilateral agreement with Russia.
Yeah.
So after that, then the Russian fleet says, that they're going to pay a port call to Havana. And I think it's important to remember that Russia's nuclear navy, and especially their nuclear submarine fleet, Russia's surface fleet is not remotely comparable to the strength of their submarine fleet and their ICBM, sub-launched ICBM deterrent and counter-strike capability. They do not need to pull into Cuba to wave. If a ship was damaged, if there were a collision in the Atlantic, they may pull into Cuba in an emergency. But the fact is, they're patrolling off of both of our coasts all the time. And it may be just what America needs to have a fighting chance against our own tyranny if Washington, D.C. were to be vaporized by them.
Oh.
Joe Biden is certainly provoking them.
Yeah, I agree. I agree he's provoking them, but I don't want that to happen. You know what I find interesting, though? There's a Chinese bill. Let me shift gears for a second. I know I'm kind of jumping around, Sam.
Take your time.
But Paul Preston and I and Jamie Walden, we all independently have the same information. Estimated 10,000 Chinese crossing our California-Mexico border every month. They're being housed in places like the Ramada in Hotel Circle in San Diego. Some of them are being taken into Camp Pendleton, and the non-coms are upset because they're being forced to train these people. Multiple sources on that. That's, in fact, Paul probably had the best one without the non-com story. He said people associated with New California have seen them going in unmarked white vans all the time, and it's a common sight. So we have that threat. And then we have the Chinese,
Can I ask you a question on that?
Yeah.
Because I heard a rumor going around, and you can confirm or deny it here. Let's get it straight from the horse's mouth. I heard that a lot of those reports are valid reports of Taiwanese soldiers, which are in the United States and being trained on military bases.
I think there's no doubt that that has happened.
Okay.
But we have CHICOM soldiers crossing our border.
Agreed.
They're PLA.
Agreed. And I think that the Taiwan issue is very imminent. Even when I went to El Salvador, the closing days of May, this ominous dark cloud was hovering over the world, as because the Chinese announced on their state media in early June, we will attack Taiwan. You know, it was only one presidency ago that El Salvador was sniped as a Taiwan ally. Sanchez Seren, the FMLN guerrilla fighter, communist president, broke relations with Taiwan. And then Bukele gets in, and he's behind the eight ball. You know, here's this tiny country. It's like, we can't fight China. He has to deal with the hand that he was dealt there. It's a beautiful library the Chinese built there right in his capital city, the only modern building in the historic center. Sarah A. Carter was down there and checked out the library, and she said, in this library, you cannot check out books, but the books will check you out because they're all from China.
Okay,
That's
get it.
A funny joke.
I get it. I know it's that's an old story, you know. In Russia, they don't watch TV. TV watches them. Yeah, I hear you. That's what that put me in the mind of. Okay, so we have Russian naval buildup in Cuba. We have here's another thing too. Michael Yon has this too. I want to leave no doubt that I know I'm correct on this. There are three immigration paths in the United States. The one that runs closest to the Pacific is exclusively Chinese. They have halfway houses on the way. The NGOs are paying for it with Biden laundered money to them. I've already reported on that confidently. And they're Chi Coms. They're not Taiwanese. They're Chi Coms. In fact, the complaint, Jamie Walden reported this on my show. Non-coms are mad because they're training Chi Coms, not Taiwanese. I don't think there'd be resistance in the American military to train Taiwan. I don't think there'd be
Right.
resistance at all. There's a great deal of pushback going on with regard to the Chinese on Camp Pendleton. And this is just more of the same treason with Biden. I mean, I listened to James Comer again today. They're finishing up the Biden impeachment trial. And he said $25 million came to the Biden family. We can directly trace over $5 million to Joe Biden. China owns him. And then you got Mark Kelly, senior senator from Arizona, $20 million plus. Mitch McConnell, the former head of the Senate for the GOP, over $25 million, with his wife, parents controlling the six major ports in China. And I'd just go down the list. China owns our governors. China owns a lot of our Congress. And the ones they don't own, Israel owns. I mean, Sam, we're screwed.
Let me come in with a little ray of hope. I don't think that the Russia-China alliance is going to be ironclad in the Americas. I think they're going to compete for their separate and several interests, just as the Spanish and the Portuguese did. They all thought that they were going to cooperate. The whole world thought that the Spanish and Portuguese were going to cooperate in the conquest of the New World, and they became bitter enemies. And within 2 years, the Pope himself had to step in and apportion the New World and draw a meridian as far as what would be Portuguese east then and Spanish west then. And which is why Brazil speaks Portuguese today, and everything to the west of Brazil is speak Spanish. So I think we're going to see a similar fracturing of the Sino-Russian alliance, especially in the New World. When you got issues on the Asian continent, like Korea, even Taiwan, Russia may stick with China, but when it comes to the New World, they're going to each go for their own interests, and we're already seeing those alliances break down. And remember, Russia is the secret power behind destroying enough election fraud that the people can actually have a voice in the Americas.
Okay. Do you see a time when pre-stored weapons caches in America, and they've been discovered in some three of them that I know of, that the Chinese will have these weapons, that ones that are in the country, and they'll mobilize and start wiping out Americans? Do you see
Yes, they
that?
will. Yes, they will. But I'd just like to look at the other side of that too. In El Salvador, Bukele was saying, "Look, I took the presidency. Our military was so broken down and beaten down." Now, I put in my worldwide report that I saw numerous vintage Vietnam era M16s with metal Stanag mags, right? No four-way anti-tilt follower plastic Pro-Mag magazines that you can actually put 30 rounds in. No. Old school, where you got to follow all the soldiering rules and tap them on your helmet to keep them from jamming. And that's what they took back their country with. They don't even have dust covers. I'm looking for a volunteer, by the way, to buy me 100 laser engraved dust covers as a gift to the Admiral, the Minister of Defense. because they're running around with so many M16s that don't even have a dust cover on them.
Yeah, I hear
And
you.
that's what they began to take their country back with. And then their security forces started to take over the weapons of the drug dealers. And then they started to get a little bit of help and to bring in some new resources and to get some new guns, like were showcased at the inauguration. If you jump up on YouTube and see their new shorty 5.56 millimeter carbines, they're really sexy. So they've come up and done that. Just because there are caches of weapons in the United States doesn't mean that we can't overrun those, take them, battle on with our old school weapons, and really get a lot done. It's just that the average American needs to really man up and be ready to do that. And just as a tactical note, don't forget the validity of the long-range scoped precision hunting rifle. When it comes down to serious combat, that weapon is feared. The rifleman and the rifle that is actually can make long shots just makes a world of difference. And we as Americans, we're a nation of riflemen. We've always excelled in that. So just get out and do a little bit of practice, make sure everything's dialed in and make some long shots. You don't need all the trick gear. They give these dummies full auto weapons because a lot of times they can't shoot and have very little training, and they're intended to be cannon fodder, and they will be.
Okay. Wei Fang, defense minister in 2017, had a speech leaked to many of colleagues, including myself. And he praised America in the first half of his speech. In the second half of his speech, that was supposed to be classified but leaked, he said, "We have to wipe out Americans. We're going to occupy the country without cohabitation. And we're going to do it with, race-based bioweapons they said they developed in regard to working with Israel." Does that surprise you?
First of all, I mix up Wei Fang and Fang Fang sometimes.
Okay. Well,
There are
Paul,
race-specific.
before you answer, Sam, let me back up. The three previous defense ministers dating back to 2003 before Wei Fang basically said genocide against America. So this was a very consistent policy.
Second, I am not at all surprised that there are race-specific bioweapons. Third, the intent of the Chinese in America is partly the land, but it's partly the women. And this is what Chinese soldiers are told: your wives are in America.
I've heard
And
that.
the racial profile that has been selected to combine with the Han Chinese, the most homogenous ethnicity on the planet, and the most racist people group on the planet, from my personal experience and numerous reports, the race that has been selected by them to meld with their own is the Latin American and Native American dark-haired, dark-eyed women of North and South America. And so their plan is to take those women for themselves. And outside of that, there will be a genocide.
Well,
They don't intend.
those women are Chinese descendants, according to what they believe.
Some say.
Yeah, that's what the
Some say.
Chinese say.
The ethnic similarity, though, is undeniable. And I'll just tell you that those are the wives that they're after. There is a 100 million order of magnitude scarcity of women, of wives for the Chinese soldiers. And they intend to come get them. And everybody else that's outside of their profile or that's male, of course, will be targeted for genocide. I am always suspicious when someone makes especially an ungrounded accusation that, oh, and behind it all is Israel. I think that Israel is most interested in their own defense. They have their Samson option and some other things to lash out at the rest of the world in the event that they're cornered. But you or I would do the same thing. And the whole idea that the heart of genocide in the world is Israel, I just don't believe that.
Okay. Interesting times we live in, my friend. I wrote this well over a decade ago, and I'm referencing the Vietnam War where the Tet Lunar New Year came in, and the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese Army used that as a deception to have a 3-day ceasefire, and immediately they attacked every capital city and every province, even seized the U.S. Embassy with this mass attack across the country. And they knew they wouldn't hold the objectives against the American military, but they didn't care. They simply wanted to send a message to the American people. We ain't winning, you ain't winning the war like Lyndon Johnson's telling you. Now, I believe, and this is what I've written, with Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS, MS-13, CHICOM soldiers, Venezuelan soldiers, I believe we're going to see and or have a Tet offensive across this country from those groups. Have you thought about that at all, Sam?
Yes, and I do see that coming. Here again, there's also a ray of hope. A Vietnam veteran told me that the victory of the Tet Offensive was largely in the propaganda value of it, with
Exactly,
some
exactly.
traitors like Cronkite, I believe, was right there and spread the communist talking points for that. But he said, we shattered their ranks so badly that they could not make another advance on any significant military objective for the entirety of the war. And so we can turn this around. We can wait for them to make their move and then defend ourselves. Okay, they bring gunfire into the streets. This is where the American people rise up and show the world what riflemen we actually are. This is where we rise up and crush the assault. And we may find that there's nothing left after that. And this is where I have to step in to and correct some errant doctrines. A lot of people are still just believing some views of eschatology that were heavily influenced by the Cold War. And when the Soviet Empire fell, it was an act of God that I didn't expect. A lot of people did not expect, did not see coming. Did not even imagine that God could do, because that the Soviets had been factored in to be Gog and Magog, which may or may not be at all correct, and to factor into Ezekiel 38, which follows 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones. And so we kind of just got this fatalistic view of the last days. And that's not at all what's happening in El Salvador. It's not at all what's happening in these other nations, where there are rays of hope, where the wicked are being exterminated, incarcerated, removed from the streets. So I came out of my hotel in El Salvador and walked down the block, and there were four or five people standing with shotguns that stand there all day long on
Yeah.
guard duty with pistol grip Mossbergs with the finish worn completely off of them. And I'm talking in a block. Now,
Hear you.
you think there's any tattooed hooligans running down that street? No. Now, you can do this, America. This is why I went to El Salvador, just to finally put the nail in the coffin lid on all the propaganda, on all the names that Bukele's being called. He's a wonderful, tremendous Christian president. They want the same law and order. You know, he came out with his wife in the presidential palace, and the whole crowd began to chant, Beso, 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 which means kiss. They wanted to see the president and the first lady kiss, because that's the value of their nation, not men in
No,
size 13 high heels.
I know. I hear you. I hear you. There's value there. I agree. Sam, we're just about out of time, and we have enough time for you to tell people how to follow you, subscribe star, Gospel Gunslinger. So tell people how to follow you.
My main site's gospelgunslingers.com. I have a link to my blog on Subscribestar there. A lot of things that you've never heard, that have never been reported in English language news, are on there. I'm not on shortwave anymore, but you can still get the old shows where we lay the doctrines lay the foundation of our forefathers' doctrines of what they believed in the Bible, that we can rule ourselves. I want to be your pastor and I want to be your missionary. So please reach out to me. I read all my own messages, gospelgunslingers.com.
I think that's fantastic. You want to be people's missionary because you haven't lost sight of your duty towards the Lord. Final question without time for elaboration. Are we close to the tribulation, or do you think we can push it off to a later generation?
There will be a time of Jacob's trouble. Israel will lose some upcoming battles. But it's important to remember that it's the time of Jacob's trouble and that the curses that come on the earth are to slay the wicked. That's what they're there for, to slay the wicked, to slay those that shake their fists at God. They're going to be the ones crawling in the caves and asking the mountains to fall on them, not
I
the
agree.
believers.
I want to follow up with the then days prophecy and do another show with you on this. Sam, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Very informative. Folks, I know we jumped around, but we're facing a multifaceted threat in this country. And the media is ignoring Latin America. They're ignoring Mexico. They're certainly ignoring El Salvador. And this is why we had to have Sam on, because it deeply affects us. Well, anyway, Sam, thanks for joining us. Gospelgunslingers.com is where you want to go to support Sam. And we will see you all back here again next time. Take care, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I don't want to give the left, the Democrats, the Uniparty, too much credit for being intelligent. But I'm going to tell you what Dave Hodges would do if I was satanically inspired, desire to bring down my country, hope to win an election if we have one. I'll tell you what I would do. And there's a little rumbling out there that makes me think it's possible. I just don't think these leftist bozos are that smart as they do the bidding of the fallen angels. My name's Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We are brought to you by the Magic Dicol product line. And in that, we get the gel where your joints will just, hey, like me, I can do squats now. The Metasomer gel. You can get the Nanosoma spray. And I told you my luck with that. I mean, I had a bad prognosis with RSV, stripped lung linings. And this was the only thing I was doing. And today, I'm in the best shape I've been in 25 years. And then they have the cream, the Metagel cream, which is takes away the wrinkles. Take a look at it. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, Mitt Romney is a consummate, let's profit off Ukrainian. Yeah, he was. He's one of them boys. His family, one of them guys. Ukraine, he's a classic uniparty. He was actually doing too well in the election. He knew he was supposed to lose to Obama in 2012, and he just stopped campaigning. That's because he's a good uniparty guy. He's a team player for Team Bolshevik Communists. And he has floated an idea out there, and I think it's interesting. Now, he's out of public office. He still runs his mouth, and I guess some leftists listen to him. I do because it's my job. I hope you don't because it's not your job, and this guy's full of it. But he said one thing that got my attention, that Biden should pardon Trump. Do you hear the music? Dun, dun, dun. That, I think, would be brilliant. I think it would be brilliant. First of all, I think it would negate an appeal. This conviction will be overturned. I don't think before Trump will be in prison, but it will be overturned. This judge, this Colombian Bogota cartel judge, broke every rule in the book. I mean, after all, folks, come on. The federal courts could have taken Trump down on this, or they said no, they couldn't. And they declined to prosecute. The DOJ refused to prosecute. And then, of course, the Federal Elections Commission, democratically run, refused to act on anything. But just this Bogota judge, Bogota merchant is what I'm going to call him, bogus Bogota, and this corrupt jury. Did you see the story they planted? One of the jurors is reporting they tried to bribe him with $120,000 to find Trump innocent. That's a bunch of BS. It's the old Cloward and Piven nonsense. Accuse your enemy of what it is you're doing. Hey, listen, I hope there's a some kind of federal official out there at some point in time that can take every one of those jurors and turn their finances upside down. Now, maybe we'll find nothing and I'll have to come back and say, okay, no harm, no foul. They're just all deluded and they didn't understand the law and they were hoodwinked by Bogota judge. But I have a feeling where there's smoke, there's fire. And for them to return a 34-count indictment and 9 hours of deliberation, no way in hell. No way in hell did that happen. They knew ahead of time this was a rigged trial for sure. But I think the Democrats would be smart. Now, I'm also seeing now where some Democrats in New York are urging Hochul to pardon Trump. See, I think that would give them the upper hand. Convicted felon running for president, and you can't take it off on appeal? Boy, boy, that's interesting, isn't it? What do you think? Do you think that there'll be a pardon for Trump from the Democrats to play this strategy? I think it's their best play. But then again, when you try to give these people credit for being intelligent, they're knee-jerk Bolshevik communists with satanic overtones. They don't think, they just react. That's it for the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here next time. Let me know what you think.